Hi, friends. Thank you for joining me today. You are going to be amazed and, I know, equipped with the information that my guest is going to provide. I am talking today with Dr. Etienne Graves, and we are going to talk about the supernatural realm and all of those things that are attendant and related to that. Stay tuned for this conversation.
And now, here's Dr. Mike.
Hi, friends. Thank you for joining me today. I am talking today with Dr. Etienne Graves. He is the founder of MIMO Ministries. That's Melchizedek's Excellent Ministry Order, located in Los Angeles in the Inland Empire in California. He's a prophetic messenger who travels the world, is available for speaking engagements. Etienne uses visual aids to deliver God's message and reveal the hidden secrets in God's Word. As a chosen vessel of the Lord, his calling is to be used as God's secret weapon to attack the enemy with the uncompromising truth of the Word of God. He is a creative, artistic presenter who uses visual aids, PowerPoints, and demonstrations to deliver God's Word. Dr. Graves shares the unprecedented revelation about the Garden of Eden, angels, Satan, DNA, and the Order of Melchizedek. Etienne is the author of Demons, Nephilim, and Angels, The World That Then Was, and Unveiling Secrets from Eden's Garden. Etienne was the featured speaker on angelic incursion at the 2016 NEFCON conference in Texas. Dr. Graves received a Doctor of Divinity and Humane Letters degree in June 2017 from Victory in Praise University. Etienne, thank you so much for joining me today.
It is my honor and pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a conversation that was a little difficult in getting nailed down. We're both very busy and had a hard time, but we finally nailed down a date, and we're actually speaking together. And so I'm blessed and privileged to have you on the program. So, Etienne, first question that comes to mind that I wanted to ask you with all of the craziness that's going on today, and we could talk about it globally, and I'm sure we'll bring some things up that are happening in other nations around the world, but let's focus on the United States first. Where would you say we are at on the prophetic timeline in relation to the return of Jesus Christ? What are your thoughts on that, Etienne?
I think we are much closer than people think. I even think we're much closer than a lot of preachers think. I think that not only can it happen between a year and the next 4 or 5 years, but it could probably happen even sooner than that. This whole issue with the mask and the COVID and keeping everybody at home, it's actually a trial run for, you know, the Antichrist and everything like that. But if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, they could actually bring that mark and enforce it right now. So I believe he's holding it back, but it's right around the corner, so to speak. It's not as far off as we think. I really don't think we're going to leave. I don't like to put dates on, you know, when he's going to come back or anything like that. But he's given us things or signs in the Bible to look for to say, to recognize that he's coming back or is very soon. Like, for example, he said it'll be like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. That's when we should recognize that the Son of Man is coming back. And the things that are going on now, the things that are happening in these days, are the exact things that happened in the days of Noah and Lot. And we know what happened in those days. He sent the flood and he sent fire and brimstone because of the depravity that was going on in the land. But since we can recognize what's going on now that happened then we should know that he is very soon to returning. And my belief is when he was talking about it would be like the days of Noah and Lot. In the days of Noah and Lot, there were Nephilim walking around on the earth. There were giants. And, of course, you knew they were Nephilim or giants because of their stature. They were super tall. But I think these days, the difference is that those same Nephilim are walking around on the earth, but they're not 30, 40, 50 feet tall. They have integrated into society and look just like you and I. That's, you know, my opinion based on what the Bible said.
Yes, yes. I agree with that, that the demons, the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim are wandering and have actually possessed bodies today. And I think that the origin, the source of what we see breaking out in our nation, the violence and I've never seen it in my lifetime, Eddie, and I'm in my mid-60s now, and I've never seen the hatred, just the demonic vitriol that spews out of people's mouths toward anything that resembles something that all civilizations in all times have deemed was good and right and proper. It seems that we are living in those days that you described, where good is called evil, evil is called good. Things are upside down right now. And I agree with your synopsis that, and I'm not a date setter either, but the return of the Lord Jesus has to be on the horizon. He has to be, if we could paint a picture in this way, I would say that he is no longer seated at the right hand of the Father, but he is now standing, preparing to come and get his people. And
no question.
That should serve as a warning, shouldn't it, to folks
who
are listening to us? That should serve as a warning. If you're not right with Christ, do it today, shouldn't it?
Yes, yes. Amen. We're not sound like doom and gloom. We're not promised tomorrow. That's why we said in Hebrews, today, if you hear his voice. So when you seize the moment, anybody that's listening, today, when you hear his voice, then you feel the leading of the Spirit. You know, if anyone's listening and they feel that in their conscience, that's how the Holy Spirit works. So if you feel that leading in your conscience, that's him trying to draw you to him. And it's never too late as long as you're breathing.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Yes, that's right. It's too late when you leave this temporal realm, when you leave time and space, folks. There isn't a second chance. Don't listen to those people that tell you that. You've got to settle that in your heart while you're breathing in this realm, space and time. So the days that we live in, unprecedented in my lifetime. A lot of people like to point back to other times, other eras in history and say, well, we've seen this violence, we've seen craziness before, so what makes you think the Lord his return is drawing near? And it always reminds me of that passage that the apostle Peter wrote, where he said, listen, there are skeptics and scoffers saying, where is his, we've been waiting all these years, where is his return? But when those kinds of people rise up on the scene, they're actually fulfilling the prophecy that Peter gave, that just before his return, people would be scoffers and skeptics of that. And so I think today, Eddie, and I think God is releasing his people from bondage, the bondage of blindness, the bondage of deafness, the bondage of a spiritual coma. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. And I was talking about this a little bit on my show yesterday, but I know you remember, I think it was Luke 22, I think verses 50 and 51, when Peter cut off the servant's ear, when he put out his sword and cut off the servant's ear, and the scripture says that Jesus healed him. You know, that's a whole nother topic for another time, because, you know, that means that the Lord can replace missing body parts. But that's a whole other time. But Luke 22:51 says, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. So that represents prophetically cutting off the hearing, you know, and we know how the leftists are. So it's also prophetic there. And it says, Jesus answered and said, suffer you thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. So you're right. We're living in a time where the Lord is hearing that, healing that hearing that has been cut off, that spiritual hearing. He's speaking ever clearly, more clearly than he's ever been speaking before, you know, and people can hear him. Whenever there's chaos going on, that's the time when his voice gets clearer. And the confusion of the devil tries to scramble. It's like a receiver tries to scramble that voice. But I believe the Lord's restoring not just spiritual hearing, but spiritual, all of the spiritual senses that we need to have to be in order to have discernment, yes, as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 5. I think it's very similar to what happened in the days of Noah. You know, when Noah was building that ark, it was 120 years, and the Bible says he preached righteousness. And we know that they mocked him and scoffed at him. And it said, until the flood came and took them all away, up until that day.
Yes.
So this is mirroring those times. That's another reason why he said, when it's the days of Noah, that you know that it's the return of the Son of Man. You know, the Lord didn't take Noah and everyone off the earth. I mean, but he surrounded them and protected them while all the chaos was going on in the earth. I think that's similar to what's going on now, because the Lord has protection for his people, you know, with all the people that's losing their jobs and the people that's getting, I mean, there's so much stuff going on, but I'm hearing, and I know so many testimonies of the Lord protecting his people in supernatural ways. And they may not even realize it, but that's where the whole spiritual world comes into effect.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now that's a very good segue. The spiritual world, Western Christianity, I'll phrase it that way, Western Christianity, the American church, by and large, has been deceived. And that has been a methodical deception that has been rolled out through our seminaries, through our Christian ministries, through our Christian media. And the deception is this, folks. The deception is that there is no supernatural realm. The deception is that demons aren't real. Ha-Satan is not real. Lucifer is just mythology. All of these things, and not all, not, I'm not saying all American Christians, because there is, the Lord always keeps a remnant. Amen, Edian? The Lord always keeps
Amen.
A remnant.
Amen.
And
yes,
and so they have eyes that see and ears that hear, as Jesus said. But
yes.
But there's a large percentage, in my opinion, and I want your thoughts on this, Edian. There's a large percentage of the American church that, well, they're just clueless. They don't understand the reality, first of all, of spiritual warfare. They don't see the need for it. They think they can just continue on in their Disneyland Christianity and their cotton candy sermons and teachings from their favorite pastors, and nothing evil is going to befall them. That seems to be the mindset today, but it's already broken out across our land, hasn't it? Hasn't the evil and the evil one behind it haven't they just told us plainly, we're coming after you, and we're going to do everything it takes to destroy you? I mean, that's the message I'm seeing. What do you think?
That's exactly what they're saying in plain sight. They're not hiding it. Yep. They're bold about it, and they're, you know, saying it in a tyrannical way, like those Nephilim. They were tyrants, basically. Yes. That's what they were, and that's that same spirit that's operating now. And it's interesting that you say about that, because you're right. There are a lot of believers, a lot of Christians who don't believe in the spiritual world, but don't believe it to the level that the Bible teaches. Yes. You know, the Bible, I believe that, well, I don't believe, but the Bible, not just believe, but we know the Bible says that there was a third heaven. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:2, I know a man was called to the third heaven.
Yes.
So if there's a third heaven, there has to be a second heaven.
Yes.
And the people say, well, how do you know it's a second heaven? Because if you build a house and you had three floors, you can't build a house without a second floor. If going to the third floor, you have to have a second floor. So there has to be a second heaven. And what happens is, just to be plain so people can understand, the Lord has built portals all around this world. Mm-hmm. And the portals connect from the third heaven down through the second heaven, down to earth, and down to hell. And there are doors and windows, and, you know, they can be opened and closed. That's why the Lord talked about the gates of hell not prevailing against the church, because gates represent portals. But what happens is, if those portals are clogged up, sort of like a drain that gets clogged up, then God's power and his answers to prayer and the angels who are sent to bring deliverance cannot get through, because they're clogged up with the second heaven, those fallen angels. That's that realm where they're at. And we can go to Daniel chapter 10 to look at that reference. When Daniel was praying, when he fasted for 21 days, and the angel came down and said, I've been trying to get down here for 21 days, and I had to fight with the prince of Persia, a fallen angel from the second heaven. And since the prince of Persia was at a greater or higher rank than that angel was, he had to call on Michael, who was a higher rank than that prince of Persia, to come down and fight to be able to let allow him to get through that realm. So there's a battle that goes on in the spiritual realm that affects what happens in the natural. And that's why he's given us spiritual armor. He's given us weapons. He's given us instructions in the word on how to pray spiritually. And the most important thing is, he's given us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Who says, the Bible says that he will teach us how to pray, or pray for us or through us, when we don't even know how to pray.
Yes.
And that's the best weapon against spiritual warfare. But attacking things in the spirit causes things to happen in the natural. And it happens the same way with the Satanists and the people who don't believe in God. The Bible says in Luke 16:8 that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light in this generation. Why? Because they believe in the supernatural. They believe in the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. They're not conditioned to tradition, you know?
Yes.
And that realm is reserved for God's children, but they don't believe in it or open themselves up to it or understand how to engage in spiritual warfare.
Yes.
He tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is some wrestling that goes on. There is some wrestling that has to take place, which is why I believe he trained Jacob when he wrestled Jacob. That was the prophetic of training us on how to wrestle, getting us stronger, how to wrestle with these principalities and these powers. They're not supposed to be having their way in this world like they are now.
Amen. Amen. I agree wholeheartedly with that, Eddie. And so when we're talking about spiritual warfare, I think part of the problem is that Christians aren't being taught it. And the other piece or part of that equation is there seems to be no desire or thirst to pursue it. So I don't know how we ever got to this place, Eddie, but here's where we're at, in my opinion, the American church. Christians have accepted that the pastor is responsible for understanding the Bible and teaching it to them. And so, consequently, they have no responsibility themselves to study the scriptures. They believe whatever the pastor believes. Now, I think that's led to the weak, spineless, and anemic church that we see today. Christians have abdicated their individual responsibility to know what the scripture says, to develop that intimate, personal, powerful relationship with the Father through faith in the Son. And because they're not doing either of those things, Edian, they're not teaching their children as the scripture commands us. Is that a fair analysis?
That's very fair, and I'm probably a little milder than I would have put it. But that's exactly what's going on. And the problem is, and see, that's part of this shakeup that the Lord is using with the church. Seaport, because for too long, the saints have gone to, let's just tell it like it is, they've gone to a man or a preacher depending and hanging on his every word,
yes,
you know, right, for the next week. Or instead of them being trained to depend on the voice of God, they're being trained to depend on what this man who's standing in front of them is saying. And the Bible even talks about us. It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a baby. And they've been giving out milk to them. So when you're a baby, you need milk, you're going to keep coming back to it. You're not getting any meat or any steak. And what people have got to realize is in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, and he gave 4:11, and he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until. So there's a point where it's until. They're supposed to be equipping these saints to go out into the world and to teach other believers and to bring souls into the kingdom of God. They should be the ones also going out and being taught and being teachers. But instead of equipping them that way, they want to make them depend on this, on the fivefold ministry in such a way, as opposed to making them ministers of righteousness themselves. Because if they do that, they're going to go out and leave the congregation. They're going to take their tithe. They're going to take their offering with them. It's been a dangerous system that many pastors and of the fivefold ministry, not all, but many have engaged in. And even now, many are falling away from the faith because they've been addicted to a certain man of God, and they haven't been able to come into his presence because of the COVID. God is, hopefully these people are getting into that word for themselves and getting to develop a relationship with Jesus for themselves and not depend on these men of God. Thank God for them. We praise God for even you and I being men, but we don't want people to depend on us and our word.
That's right.
We should be pointing them to Jesus,
yes,
because in times of turmoil, we're not going to be right there with them. Jesus is. And that's what we should have been teaching them and training them. Not just teaching them to just come keep getting milk and living and hanging off every word that the man of God stands before the pulpit and says, because it's dangerous.
Yes, amen. It certainly is. One of the things that I've said a number of times over the years, Eddie, and is this: pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, it doesn't matter. If you are feeding God's people, and they are God's people, make no mistake, those of you who have joined us today, people don't belong to pastors. They don't belong to apostles.
Amen.
They don't belong to evangelists.
Yes.
They are the Lord's sheep.
Yes.
We are merely under-shepherds.
And yes.
We report directly to the great shepherd. Now, what that means is that we have a responsibility to inform, to educate, to equip, to edify, to reprove, rebuke, exhort, correct. We have a responsibility to do all of those things.
Yes.
And one of the ways that we do that is that when we teach, when we preach, when we evangelize, we should have an understanding of what's happening in our culture. So we should know the news from reliable sources. And I'm not talking mainstream media here, because they're just
Amen.
A pack of liars is all they are.
Yes.
But we should be hearing from the Lord by the Holy Spirit in us. We should be able to discern and understand what's behind the headlines. What are the globalists doing? What are the secret society people doing? What are their goals? What are they trying to accomplish? And we should be presenting all of that through the prism, the scriptures. We should, Bible in one hand, newspaper in the other, and saying, see this right here going on in our culture? This is what the Bible says mm-hmm. about that, and this is why we need
yes.
to do this, 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 and this.
Yes.
What do you think about that,
yes.
Edian? Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. And before I answer that, I just want to say, I'm not talking about all of the five. The Lord, you know, he has a remnant, but there are major ones, and we all know who I'm talking about for leading many astray. But I'm not talking about all of them. Bless God for the ones who are walking in that positioned the way they're supposed to with integrity. Thank God for them. But we know that there are many, especially the ones who are out on the forefront, who are in public, who are not doing it, and they have the biggest following. So those are the ones who I'm talking about.
Right. Yes.
But of course, we have response. That's what, you know, Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 about what will be happening in the world with rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines. That's current events. That's things that's going to happen in the world.
That's
and
right.
Like you said, we should be able to point to the word, and because I don't believe the word is devoid of anything. If you want to look for any answer to whatever's going on now, whatever has happened, whatever will happen, the word has it somewhere.
Yes, amen.
I'm positive of it. Of
yes.
it. And whatever happens in current events, you can find in the word somewhere where the Holy Spirit will show you to connect with what's prophetically going on,
yes.
and also what the Lord is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pulling back of a veil of what Satan's doing. Okay, look, this is what the devil's doing. This is what they're doing with the deep Luciferian state. This is what they're trying to do. Okay, now you see what they're trying to do. Now this is what I'm going to do to combat that. So since I'm showing you what I'm going to do from the word and from the Holy Spirit, you pray this. You pray that. You decree this. You decree that. So that's the difference of it. But I believe we have to put together not only what's going on in the world today, but what happened in the world before to let
yes.
people understand that the Lord is omniscient. He's
yes.
all-knowing.
Mm-hmm.
He's all-knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally wouldn't want to, you know, tune into a show or a program where the man of God isn't speaking to what's going on today in my current world.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't be able to relate to it.
Exactly.
So I think it's necessary. And I think that, like, I agree that with the mainstream medium, there are too many other sources nowadays to find out information.
Yes.
I tell people, don't believe anything the mainstream media says. They either
That's
tell
right.
you a flat-out lie,
yep.
or they'll mix the truth with the lie. So don't
yes.
believe anything they say.
That's
my opinion on that. But the Lord is, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's it.
How much more of a current event mode can you get than the spirit of prophecy? You know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because we're seeing all this unfold right now, folks. We're seeing it with
yeah.
our own eyes. Jesus criticized those in his own day that could not look, observe, and understand what was taking place. He criticized the religious leaders for being able to look at the sky and say, oh, well, it's going to rain tomorrow, but not being able to look at the times and the events. And he was talking about his own presence among them and his teaching and his kingdom principles and John being the forerunner. He was talking about all of that, and he criticized them for not understanding. Well, I think part of the issue, too, Eddie, and you brought this up, a little earlier in the program, so I want to revisit that. You were talking about spiritual doors, portals, and all of those kinds of things. That is a reality that most Christians do not understand. They think that it's some kind of, hyper-charismata or something. They think it's not biblical. And the fact of the matter is that it is very biblical, and through spiritual portals and doors that demons use, they travel back and forth into our temporal realm from the second heaven, from the third heaven. They're able to travel back and forth, and part of what has happened to too many in the church is that they have placed themselves in bondage. They dabble in things that they shouldn't. And I'll give some statistics here, Eddie. Both Gallup, Barna, and there was a third research group that normally conducts surveys, the Pew Research Group, conducts surveys among people who profess faith in Christ. And shockingly, I guess I shouldn't be, but I am. Shockingly, the surveys revealed that Christians, those who profess faith in Christ, view pornography at the same level as those who profess no faith at all. It's virtually the same percentage of the population as men in the church. Now, women at a lower percentage. percentage, but that percentage is climbing. So pornography, views on abortion within the church, sadly, that percentage is rapidly approaching the same percentage as lost people or unbelievers who support abortion. There is something going on in the church, Edian, and I think that we can put our finger on it by saying that too many Christians have become spiritually blind. They are in bondage to the supernatural realm, who have moved them to a place where they're dabbling in things where they shouldn't be dabbling in, and that is like, well, that's like shackles in the spiritual realm. You cannot serve God when you're dabbling in all these other things, can you?
No, you can't. And that leads to the age-old question, can a Christian be possessed? Mm. You know, many theologians, many people believe that a Christian can't be possessed, but I just ask the simple question. Can a Christian dabble in the horoscope and psychic and witchcraft and, like you say, pornography and abortion and sin? And can they dabble and get involved with that willingly and not be possessed? What makes them void of it if they're willingly getting involved in it? Mm-hmm. I don't see what the difference would be if a person who wasn't saved did the same thing. They're opening a door and they're giving the demonic entities a legal right because of what they've gotten involved in. So the answer to my opinion, my question is yes, a Christian can be possessed to whatever they open themselves into. If you get involved in that stuff, and yes, the demon, that's how you open a portal. We're portals. That's mm-hmm. how you open a door for them to come inside. Like, they look for those things. Yeah. They can't just come in without being invited. It'll be a violation otherwise.
That's right.
And you're right about portals, because if you look at maybe some cities, some neighborhoods, some nations, certain things happen there just over and over again in that region. Why? Because a portal is either opened to the third heaven or closed to the third heaven, where the angels and where God resides.
Yes.
And if it's closed to the third heaven, then you know what happens. Murders, you know, crime, abortions, all kind of things happen in that realm. But if it's open to the third heaven, we can think about, for example, the revival, the Azusa revival, where people were just getting saved because the third heaven was opened and the glory and power of God was getting poured out. Or there could be an area where people are just getting blessed because that portal was open and it's clear. Whatever you give power and worship and praise to, that's the deity that's allowed to come through that portal.
Yes.
That's just like in the Bible. Whenever there were kings that would come and go in the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, the 1st and 2nd Chronicles, godly kings, Israel kings, and one would put up the high places of Baal and other idols, and then one would come along and take them down. And it would go back and forth,
yep.
back and forth. When the high places were up, of Baal were up, Israel was cursed. But when the high places were down, Israel flourished. Can we see the difference in that? Is whatever you build an altar to. That's why Abraham was building altars everywhere he went, because he was opening portals to God. Whatever you build an altar to and give sacrifice, that will give a portal open to that entity or that realm. That's why the Satanists do ritual sacrifices and blood drinking and all that type of things in order to close that portal to the third heaven and open it to the second heaven. I am convinced that all these many portals that the Lord has opened around, the Lord has set around the world, were designed for the third heaven and the glory and power of God and for the traffic of his angels to come through. But
yes.
through time, they have been polluted by these fallen angels and devils and entity, because the acts of the people on earth are allowing them and ushering their presence and giving them the authority to act in that vicinity, in that realm. There you go, America. It's a huge portal over America.
Mm-hmm.
We can see all the fighting that's going on. Jerusalem, that area, that's a huge portal as well. You can see what's going on in the natural realm. It mirrors what's going on in the spiritual realm.
Yes.
But we are assured in the word, there's one thing that can break open these portals. It can clean them out when they're clogged up, and that's the power of agreement.
Yes.
In the book of Acts, when they were gathered together on one accord, that's when that rushing mighty wind came in. When people are, and that's why they don't want us unified. That's why they want us to be separated with this racism. That's why they want us to be separated, because not be with each other because of the COVID. They don't want us together because there's power in that unity. Yes. That unity breaks open the heavens and it clears open those portals that are clogged up by the demonic entities in that heavenly realm.
Yes, amen. Amen, brother. That is a fact. And here's another example or illustration of what Etienne and I have been discussing, folks. Professing Christians who are unashamedly supportive of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Now, folks, I'm just going to lay it out for you. Joe Biden, well, he's got a long, long, long rap sheet. Long rap sheet. And I'll just wrap it all up into this. He is a pervert of monumental status.
Oh, yeah.
It's plain for everyone to see. He has never been a friend of the black community that he stumbles all over himself trying to make them embarrassed if they don't support him. Listen, and Eddie, I don't think it's an accident that we're having this conversation today, but the black community in America, we have got to stop talking about them as a homogenous whole, as if they're wholly owned and bought and paid for by the Democrat Party. We have simply got to stop talking like that. There are many, many, many differences of opinion, backgrounds within the black American community, just like it is in the white American community. I don't understand why we allow these race baiters like Joe Biden to get away with the stuff that he gets away with. Now, and Kamala Harris, well, let me be kind and say she would not be where she's at today if not for her
entanglements.
Entangled. Perfect word, Etienne. Thank you so much. Thank you. That's about the gracious way to say it as I can think of. Yes, her entanglements. And listen, she hates people. She is a very wicked, evil woman. And she has not hit it. What she did during the Kavanaugh hearings, and that'll just take you back just recently, folks. What she did to that family, the excoriating vitriol that she put that family through simply because she's an ideologue. She hates God. She hates America, which is to say she hates our freedoms and liberties. Yes. Any Christian who can support the Biden-Harris ticket and claim that they are hearing from the Lord, I'm just going to tell you right now, you are not hearing from the Lord. You better unstop your ears and get on your knees and repent, because you are serving the devil when you support people like that. Etienne, your thoughts.
Wow, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I couldn't say that any better myself. And you were, like I said, once again, very kind, because, you know, you can lay out many examples for the things that you said for both of them. Mm-hmm. There's too many to cite and just, you know, from off the top of our head, but people definitely can Google it because it's all fact. Mm-hmm. But it goes back again to what we talked about portals.
Yes.
What happens also when portals are closed to the third heaven is, remember we talked about spiritual wickedness in high places?
Yes.
That's influence. It's like a spiritual deception, like a cloud or a spell or a trance that's over people. You know, anytime, Christians say, I don't care who is going against Donald Trump, I'm going to vote for them. Now, what kind of foolish ignorance is that?
Right.
You hate this man so much with no good reason that you're willing to vote against him before against whoever they put in the office. That's stupid. And for a Christian, that means not only do you lack discernment, but you need to have your mind renewed by the word of God. Amen. Because you're not listening to the right voice, obviously.
That's right. Amen.
And not only did Kamala Harris have her entanglements to push her way to the top, but she also, and people can look up this, she also, there were 50 metropolitan cities or states that were prosecuting Catholic pedophile priests for molestation because they had overwhelming evidence. She was the only representative of her state who decided not to prosecute these pedophile priests. Does it makes sense, though, because look who she's running with, a known, professed, accused pedophile himself. So it's like this spirit of Moab, which is the spirit of pedophilia, is in the land, and it's in attack, and it's trying to attack not only the president, but it's trying to attack us as Americans, and it's trying to attack the body of Christ. Yes. That's this three-pronged attack. But like I said, once again, I believe, of course, he's going to win the presidency in a landslide. It's not even going to be close. But what's the dangerous part is, in route to his victory, many Christians are showing their integrity, not only to God, to the angels, to the devils. They're showing themselves, and they're either opening themselves up to be blessed and, you know, to receive more truthful revelation, or open themselves up to continue to be deceived. Remember, the Lord said in Thessalonians that he would send fraudulence to the people, that they would believe a lie.
Yes.
And it sounds like we're in that time now, are believing a lie. Deception. That's his people. Yes. You know, and they attack him with such vitriol, such hate. I've heard so many so-called bishops and preachers stand in their pulpit and preach against this president and say words against him, wish for his death. I've heard them say that the wrong brother died when President Trump's brother died.
My.
What kind of bishop, what kind of man of God says that in a pulpit? What kind of man of God tweets that? Who does that?
Yes.
But that's that spirit that's against him. I've been praying for him, and I said, I'm a black man. I don't care what people say about it. I don't care how they feel about it. I'm for who God is for. That's all that matters to me. You know, when the captain of the host came and to Joshua, and he's like, well, who are you for? I'm for the Lord. You're either for the Lord or you against him. That's all that really matters. But think about what this man has sacrificed. I read somewhere that President Trump has lost over $9 billion in businesses and investments since becoming president. Just gave it up for the people, for America, and all this attack that he's getting on his family, on his life, it has to be wearing his down. This man truly loves America, truly loves God, and if anybody has any kind of spiritual discernment, they should be standing behind him. You have to understand that the spirit of deception is going to try to mirror the spirit of discernment. So you're getting deceived if you're thinking that this is not the man who God wants to have in the White House, but he'd rather have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. That makes not only any logical sense, it makes not only any biblical sense, but doesn't make any spiritual sense as well.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a very good point. So, President Trump has given up or lost opportunity or lost billions and billions of dollars while serving the American citizens. And at the same time, folks, it's no secret, Biden and his sons have become filthy billionaires.
Oh, great point. Great point.
Billionaires, folks, by doing and then turning it around, like you just said, Edian, turning around and blaming Trump, trying to implicate President Trump in something when it was their hands caught in the cookie jar, and the mainstream media brushes it all away, don't they?
Every time, they are the tool of not only the Democratic Party, but the tool of the enemy, which I guess is Satan and his devil. And look at that word, media. That's just another word for medium, where we get the word psychic.
Yep.
So that's what they do. They try to cast their spell and their horoscopes and their astrology on people as they watch. And people are, unfortunately, under that trance or spell, and it develops in their mind and their thinking and their actions because of it.
That's
why they have to get into that word and combat those lies that they're hearing.
That's exactly right, brother. So something else we've seen break out into the visible realm, into our experiences, is the rise of witchcraft. They came out in force against this president. They came out in force against Kavanaugh. casting spells, meeting together. They didn't try to hide it anymore. I don't ever recall that happening before in our history against any politician. I'm willing to be corrected if you can recall one, Edian, but I don't remember the witches coming together and say, we're going to cast spells and pull down and defeat and destroy and all of this. So again, to your earlier point, they're not hiding anything, are they?
No, not at all. And another point for Christians who are against President Trump. Now, if witches are against Trump, why would you be on the same side of witches? I'll wait for anybody they can find it. But if you look in that, I look in the word. Witches never agree with God.
That's right.
God never agrees with witches. And witches never came against Obama. Mm-hmm. That should tell people something. Yes. For them to band together and come against this president like that, that's all that needs to be said. And let's also keep in mind that the founders of the Black Lives Matter, or what I call Baal, Lucifer, Moloch, which is really what it is, the founder of that movement, are three witches. And I'm not castigating them or calling them names. They say that. They talk about pouring libations out to the spirits, to the ancestors. They talk about casting spells. They talk about that. These are three bona fide witches who have founded a movement that has bewitched, perfect word, bewitched the world.
Yes, yes.
And they're acting out because of it.
Yeah, that's right. And bewitched to the degree, I think I read, this is old news now, maybe a month ago, Bank of America donated $1 billion to Black Lives Matter, which we know actually goes to the Democrat Party.
Wow.
So
that means they're all connected with witches and witchcraft.
That's right.
And I contend to you knowingly. Not like, oh, we'll just give it to them. We don't know what they're doing. No. They know exactly what they're doing because they're not probably, but the ones who are in charge are involved in it too.
Exactly.
This thing spans out very far. It's not just in that small, in the Black Lives Matter organization. This is worldwide.
Right, right. This is just the most effective tool of the enemy right now. He has used others in the past, but now this is the hot iron, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Matthew chapter 13, the kingdom parables, I was reading earlier this week about the tares among the wheat, and an enemy came in and sowed these seeds while you were sleeping. Eddie, and that reminded me when I was reading that, I thought, boy, well, that's got secret societies written all over it. Secret society. Mm. There are Freemasons in the churches. There are Freemasons in the pulpit. Skull and Bones, Illuminati, Rosicrucians, the Boule Society. I mean, you name it.
Yes.
They're in the pulpits. They're in the pews. They are secret agents of the enemy. The Bible refers to them as tares. We should understand this as believers. When we see churches or other believers veer off and start adopting transgenderism, homosexuality, abortion, any of these things that are ungodly and anti-biblical, we should understand there is a pastor or a congregation that are not true believers. They're actually tares. What do you think?
I totally agree. And it connects to what we said about, them looking like us. The left one looking just like us. They look, the wheat from tares. They look just alike. The Lord says, let them grow up together. Yeah. Let them grow up. They're gonna show themselves. And like in these times, many of them are showing themselves now. Yes. I mean, there a lot of these ministers that are Freemasons, they're Illuminati, and a lot of them are. Some of them may have started outright, like the Bible says. Some are turned away because of money.
Yes,
but some of them, like 2 Corinthians 11, about they are transformed into ministers of righteousness, but they are Satan's ministers. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah. And you have to have discernment. He tells us in the Bible what to look out for with these false prophets and false teachers. He tells us how to recognize them. He tells us he speaks about it so many times in the Bible, and their key weapon is deception. They're going to make you think something isn't the way it is, or something is the way it isn't. That's right. Most times, the Holy Spirit is so gracious and so wonderful. Most times, he's giving people a check in their spirit. Giving them a check, but they're ignoring it. They're ignoring that voice, that small whisper. He's not going to yell and scream, hey, hey, he's false. It might be a small whisper.
Yeah.
But they tune out that voice because they enjoy what they're getting from this pastor or this minister. They enjoy it. And not only are there weeds and tares in the church, but there's tares in the government. There's tares in the world. They're all over the place. You know, and their aim is not only to come against the things of God, but come against the people of God. And they want to do it in secret. That's why everything is secret society, secret. There's hidden in the darkness, hidden by. It's all supposed to be secret. They want to do it. Why? Not only are you literally sleeping, but you're figuratively sleeping. You know, you're in that trance of that day that you're put in under the media, under what they tell you. You're not awake. You're not cognizant of what's going on.
That's right. And all of these secret societies, folks, these enemy agents, these tares, well, I think Psalm 2, Edion addresses them rather nicely. Psalm 2, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Now, folks, what I just read there, what the psalmist was describing there, was what some people today would call conspiracy theories. Those are the main things that are being invented, planned. And listen, a conspiracy is nothing more than plans made in secret. But you know what the Lord said? He's going to reveal secrets. He's going to show his people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to do spiritual warfare. He's going to show them what's going on so that they have eyes to see and they'll point at it. Like Edion just said, there's a false prophet. There's a wolf. That guy is not a pastor. He's leading people astray. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
So why are they doing all that? Because they are standing up against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, we know who the anointed is later in this same chapter of Psalm 2. And read it on your own, folks. You don't have to believe anything I say. Read it for yourself and see what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. The anointed here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that later. But when they say, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us, well, that's God's rule and reign. That's God's morality. That's God's values. God's righteousness. They want to do away with all of that. Boy, don't we see that happening right now in our own day, Edion?
Yes, that is so accurate. See, that's what I'm talking about, the Bible and current events. You see what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It connects.
Yes.
And the devil's tactics never change. That's why we're not ignorant to the wiles or the ways of the devil. We're not. He just puts them in a different package.
Yep.
He just does them a different way.
Yep.
He just uses a different vessel, but it's the same tactic. He wants to come against everything that's good and bring everything that's evil in a simple way to put it. You know, anything that's righteous, he wants to turn it around. He wants to reverse everything that the kingdom of God entails.
Yes.
And make it evil.
Yes.
And he has convinced or not, well, he has convinced, because even if he's possessed them, he has convinced his children, as I call them, that his way is best, and he can bless them for the now, and they fall into it or listen to it, as many in the Illuminati do, but we know how that goes. When he's done with them, then they're done.
That's how that
works. They're sacrifices.
Yes.
But God doesn't work that way, you know? That's why he went through that whole test and trial. If you bow down and worship me, when Satan told Jesus that, I'll give you all this.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the Illuminati works. That's how they work.
Yeah.
I'll give you all this if you just bow down and worship me. And that's symbolic to this whole taking a knee that they're doing, which is what I hate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because whether they realize it or not, it's taking a knee to Baal.
Yes.
That's what that is. It's bowing down to Baal.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with people, you know, getting killed by the police.
Right.
Because if you want to be honest, there were more black men killed by the police while Obama was president than any other president combined in the history.
Facts matter.
Let's not even go there.
Yep.
You know, and Trump's presidency, the numbers are way down. I'm not even close.
Yep.
So I don't know why people are using that as an excuse, but I guess those same imaginations that the Bible talks about.
Yep. You know? That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Eddie. And hey, facts matter, folks. The truth matters. Even when it's inconvenient, yeah. Right, Al Gore? Anyway, hey, brother, we are almost out of time. I've got one more question I want to ask, but well, actually two. First question, will you join me again for another conversation?
Absolutely. I'd be honored.
Well, I would love it. So we'll set that up off air. Last question. We want to leave people with hope. We want to leave people with encouragement. Do you think that we're going to experience any kind of revival in America in the midst of all of this? The light of the gospel shines brightest. Do you think we're going to experience any kind of revival before Christ returns?
I absolutely do. I am expecting it, and I think it's going to be the greatest harvest in the history of mankind. Personally, just on a personal note, I have studied revivals since like 2002. So I've been praying mm-hmm. for a revival for the city I was in and the nation. So I know that it's coming. But I know I'm not the only one that's praying. The other people are. And this is the time. Yes. The Lord's not going to come back. The Antichrist is not going to rise before the Lord does a great sweep, a great harvest of people and souls, of bringing them into the kingdom. Hallelujah. And I believe that time is not only close, but I believe it's closer than we think. It can happen at any minute. I totally believe that.
Amen.
I expect it.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, brother, I appreciate you very much. Thank you for joining me today. Folks, I've been talking with Dr. Eddian Graves. You can get his books out on Amazon. Wow. Demons, Nephilim, Angels. I would recommend you get that. He wrote one on the Garden of Eden. Now, I read that one, folks. Get that book. Get that book. And then one, The Dawn of a New Era, E-R-A. Dr. Graves, Eddian, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, brother. Folks, that's it. If you want to support this, is an outreach ministry, a broadcast ministry of the Transforming Word. You can go to thetransformingword.com and support this effort. God bless you, and we will see you next time with another powerful, fantastic conversation. Hi, friends. Pastor Mike Spaulding here. Thank you for joining me today for this episode. You may contact me by email, pastormike@ccelohio.org. I appreciate your prayers for me and the Transforming Word Ministries, which this program is a part of. You may financially support this work by sending your gifts to Dr. Mike Spaulding, P.O. Box 3007, Lima, Ohio 45807. Again, Dr. Mike Spaulding, P.O. Box 3007, Lima, Ohio 45807. Thank you, and may God bless you as you seek Him today.